Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's Persuasion, Influence, and Negotiation call. It is Wednesday, evening time, beautiful day, at least here. My name is Kurt Mortensen. As we talk about influence and persuasion skills, it's a couple of tools that you can apply this week. That's our goal in these calls for those that are new, is that you learn a new tool and you apply it over the next 7 days. That's where you can really become a master persuader. Because over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about persuading via email. We've talked about persuading and influencing via the phone. Today, what I want to focus on is face-to-face, one-on-one persuasion, communication, and influence. It is very different. We need to customize. We need to adapt. So a key factor is when you go to somebody's office or you're meeting them for lunch, whatever it is, you need to adjust your persuasion and influence tools. Remember, a lot of persuaders tend to persuade others how they like to be persuaded. We need to adapt. We need to customize. One of the main things you need to learn is when you are one-on-one or face-to-face, especially one person, it could be two people or three, but especially one person, the key factor here is your ability to connect. When you can create an instant connection with somebody and create that synchronization, that, more than anything else, will increase your ability to persuade and influence. When someone doesn't like you, the doors of persuasion swing closed. Now, the sad note is, as we know, that 90% of all people rate their people skills as above average. We know that's not true. We can all improve in this area. How can you truly connect with somebody? When you meet somebody for the first time, how can you connect? Because you know that when you meet someone for the first time, it's probably around 30 seconds where you decide if you like the person. And if they don't like you, it doesn't matter if you have the best offer, the best deal, the best product, the best company, they will not do business with you. So let's review how to connect with people, because that's critical, one-on-one and face-to-face. One of the first things we notice, and I'm not going to be politically correct here, is what's called the halo effect or attraction. Those that are better looking come across as kinder, with more trust and more intelligence. Whether that's true or not, that's how it's perceived. So how do you look? How do you dress? What type of personality do you have? That's all part of your attraction. We know in the judicial system that uglier convicts get longer prison sentences for the same crime than the better-looking ones. We know in presidential elections, the better-looking candidate usually wins. We know in colleges, the better-looking students get better grades for the same amount of work. Not saying that it's fair, not saying anybody would admit that's actually happened, but that is true. Even with your clothes, the studies show that when people ask for money, try to get people to jaywalk, how they are dressed is a big indicator. When I ask for an upgrade to first class when I fly, when I'm in a suit, I get very different results than when I'm in jeans, shorts, or even a t-shirt. Your ability to connect is critical. So how you look, how you dress, we could talk about colors. We know darker colors, especially blue, is a more credible color. We know that facial hair decreases credibility in men. There's all these different factors that you need to take a look at. People judge. I know we're not supposed to judge, but people judge. Another thing you could easily implement is understanding similarities. We like to be persuaded and influenced with people that we seem that are like us, similar to us. For example, our opinions, maybe our lifestyle, background, personality traits. That's reality. In fact, similarity theory states that we like familiar objects more than ones that are less familiar. And studies show that we are attracted to people that seem like us. Even if you were in, say, Germany, and you're from California, and you meet someone from Nebraska, there's a connection, there's a similarity. You might not have anything in common besides that, but that connects people. Study after study shows, find things in common, make sure it's something relevant. You wouldn't say, well, really, I'm a Gemini too, if that wasn't part of the conversation, and make sure it's something positive, not that you're both convicted felons or something negative like that. But being sincere here is very important. Another thing we mentioned earlier is enhance and improve your people skills. Because you know that annoying person that nobody likes, that person that rubs you the wrong way, not to sugarcoat it, that could be you. You can improve here. The study's done. In fact, there was a study done at the Carnegie Institute, or Carnegie, depending on what part of the country you're from, is that when you look at people's success in business, 85% of it will come back to people skills and working with people and understanding people. Only 15% is your core competence. But it seems to be the skill that everybody seems to work on last. In fact, most people are fired from their jobs because of their inability to work with people, but nobody ever tells them the real reason. Find things in common. Another thing, too, is learning to build rapport. Understanding your nonverbal behavior. Every gesture you have, every gesture you do, will either retract or distract from your message. Will either attract or repel people. Because 55%, the majority of your message, comes from your body language. You need to understand not only how to read other people's body language, but understand, does your body language attract or repel? Learn to develop rapport. We're not here to tell off-color jokes. We're not here to, one of the big blunders is misstating the name of the company or saying it in the wrong way. Or if you embarrass them, name-calling, profanity, sexist language, talking politics, religion, those type of things don't connect you with people. When you talk about politics, you're going to repel half the people in the room, no matter what you say. So be very careful there, unless that's a thing that you're trying to persuade on. Another aspect that's really important that I want to help you out with is understanding mirror and matching. This is a form of NLP, or neuro-linguistic programming, where you're accelerating a natural human function. So if you're meeting with somebody at their office, now, first of all, do not fall into the old trap where you look around the office and look for something to talk about. That's very old school and it doesn't work anymore. Say, oh, there's a fish on your wall. Where'd you get the fish? Oh, you're a fisherman. Do you like the fish? Oh, that's great. Now, every salesperson does that. You don't want to do it. It repels people and they're actually taking the fish home. Don't touch anything in their office. Let them tell you where they want you to sit. All those things are important. But learn to mirror and match them, their gestures. Studies have been done at restaurants where you pick someone about 20-30 feet away and you take a bite when they take a bite, you take a drink when they take a drink, you cut their food when they cut their food, and ultimately the person will come over and say, do I know you? You seem very familiar to me. When you see two people at a party that have connected, they have the same energy level, they're using the same language, their breathing rate synchronized, they're holding the cups the same time, they're taking a drink the same time, their posture's the same. They don't know that it's happening. So when you learn to mirror and match somebody, you're accelerating a natural human function of rapport. So if they lean back, eventually you lean back. They're leaning to the side, eventually you lead to that same side. Now, if you do it at the same time, you're going to freak them out. You don't want to mimic them. But the main thing I want to point out here is energy levels. Because somewhere down the line, somebody in persuasion training said you have to be enthusiastic, you have to have a lot of energy, and I'm saying, no, you don't. Because you've all been persuaded by someone, or a persuasive attempt, where they were bouncing off the walls, very enthusiastic, high energy, and it actually repelled you. Your goal here is to mirror their energy and bring them up. But you want to mirror their energy level first, especially in the morning time. Maybe they have another coffee. Maybe they're down. Mirror that energy and slowly bring them up. Very simple thing that you can implement right now. Another aspect you need to be aware of is understanding touch. If you want to connect yourself with someone, try to touch them. Now, I know there's rules. Men touching men, there's certain rules. And men touching women, there's a lot of rules. Women touching men, there's no rules. We like it. Well, maybe not. But anyway, you know what I mean. There's safe places to touch people. Now, some people will never want to be touched. and don't want to be touched. So what I want to say here is, let's focus on a handshake. Here is the amazing studies. A bad handshake can set you back 1 hour in building rapport. A bad handshake. You know, too hard, too soft, too limp, too sweaty, too many pumps. Whatever it is, you need to really watch your handshake. Now, here's the key with a handshake. You should mirror their handshake. Mirror it. The number of pumps, square up with them, practice with them, practice with other people. Whatever it is, make sure you have a good handshake. Make sure it's different for everybody. It's not, it shouldn't always be the same. A simple thing. When you go talk to a president of a company or president of the bank, especially men, they're going to try to come up with their hand on top. That's the power position. They can do it either consciously or subconsciously, and I say give it to them. If they want it, it's not a big deal to you. Don't fight them for it. But make sure you have a good handshake. Critical to your success. Because studies show that waitresses that touch get higher tips, like on the shoulders. Librarians who touched on the hand have got better evaluations. What I'm saying here is, it's okay to touch. Watch where you touch. Sometimes you can do a two-handed handshake. You should touch them on the arm or the shoulder. It connects you with people. Any questions on that? Okay. Think of questions. I want to talk about a few more things, and we'll open it up for questions and things that you're running into. The next thing you can do face-to-face is understanding one of the 12 laws of persuasion, the law of involvement. If people are not listening to you, if they're not paying attention, if they get sidetracked, they're very difficult to influence. So your goal when you persuade them is to involve all five senses. Help them see it, taste it, touch it, and feel it, and get them to participate in the process. How can you get them involved? Have them visualize it. Maybe you have the type of product or service that you can just give it to people. For example, nutritional type products, cable TV, the way they got subscriptions was to give it to people. That's the old famous puppy dog clothes. If you've ever studied that, you go to a pet store. Your 5-year-old daughter wants a dog. You're like, no dog, not having a dog. And the store owner comes over and says, I know you're resistant. Tell you what, just take it home for the weekend. And if you don't like it, bring it back. Okay? And we know what happens to that. So if you have a product or service, maybe you can let them try it for 30, 60, 90 days. So people do with photocopiers. Here, try it for 60 days free of charge. And after 60 days, you can't live without it. If it's a nutritional product, you're feeling better. What can you do to get them involved? For example, Post-it notes. Everyone knows what Post-it notes are. When they were released into the market, they were a complete and utter failure. Why? You had nothing to compare it to. What is it, a stapleless, sticky, re-sticky paper thing? No. What they did is they sent boxes of these to all the secretaries of the Fortune 500 CEOs, and they used them. They got involved, and they liked it, and the rest is history. What can you do to get people involved? You look at America Online. How many America Online CDs have gone through your fingers? Put them on the map. Car dealerships, they want people to test drive. In fact, one of the things they do now is that if you bought a Cadillac, for example, 3 years ago, they're going to show up at your home with the new Cadillac, the new version. Say, hey, here's the new version. Drive it for 2 weeks on us. If you don't like it, give it back. Very difficult after 2 weeks driving a new car. It's feeling better. It's more comfortable. The neighbors have said things. The new car smell. A lot of people keep them. Get them to participate. Keep them mentally involved. Now, a couple things to do that, especially one-on-one, is understand, first of all, that attention spans are all-time low. Keeping somebody's attention for 5-10 minutes is very difficult. So what can you do? If you can sense you're losing them, ask them a question. That brings them back. Tell them an engaging story. That will bring them back. What else can you do? You could do a startling statement or some type of quote or some type of a social validation, other people that have used the product or service. Maybe you can ask their opinions or advice. Hey, I need your help. What do you think about it? What's your opinion? These are all things during the process that will increase your ability to persuade them. Now, one last thing on involvement that we want to point out. One last thing on involvement is understanding repetition. The more you can say things two or three times during a presentation, face-to-face, the more persuasive it becomes, because it becomes more similar and familiar to them. Now, don't say the exact same thing three and four times. Repackage it. Say it with a story. Say it with a statistic. Those are things that will make a big difference in your ability to persuade face-to-face. So what do I want you to do this week? I want you to practice connecting with everyone. Everybody you meet, whether you need to do business with them or not, whether it's at the mall, whether it's at the shoe store, whether it's at the grocery store, pick someone out and connect with them. I would rather practice with somebody at a supermarket than when you really need it face-to-face at somebody's office. Try it. It's a priceless skill, and I guarantee you're not even close to where you need to be with this skill. This is the skill that most people rank themselves much higher than they actually are. Number two thing is I want you to treat everyone the same. I want you to treat everyone like gold. When you go in and call the receptionist or talk to the receptionist, treat them the same. Treat them like gold. Treat them like a human being. I know a lot of companies, and I do the same thing. When you're interviewing someone that you want to hire for your company or to do business with, I always ask the receptionist, did you like them? How did they treat you? And they had a vote in who we hired and who we did business with. Treat everyone the same. You never know who's watching, who's listening, who can help you. And I'm a big believer that everybody you meet can do business with you or know somebody that can. That is your homework. That's the tool we're going to, that's the tool I want you to apply this week as you start mastering influencing people face-to-face and one-on-one. With that being said, are there any questions?
Kirk, would you elaborate just a little bit more on the second assignment? Just talk a little bit more about what is the objective of that particular exercise, please?
As far as connecting with everyone?
Treating everyone the same, treating them like
okay.
Gold.
The biggest blunder that we see is when people go to an office to meet with the president or CEO, they just kind of, receptionists tell them that I'm here, and they don't treat the receptionist or the person with much respect. They don't try to talk to them. I'm saying treat everyone the same. Treat them like they're just as important as the president of the company, because a lot of times they are.
Okay, I got it. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And that's, sometimes it's easy because you're all wrapped up meeting the president and thinking about it, but this person's watching you. A little chit-chat, a little small talk, connecting with that person is not only going to help you when the president asks them if they liked you, the next time you need to call up, the next time you need a favor, when they remember you, when they like you, it'll go a long way. So treat everyone the same. Treat everyone like gold. Any other questions?
Talked a little bit about the handshake earlier. I believe I heard you say to mirror that handshake. Is that true also for the half handshake? I refer to it as when the person barely touches your hand.
Yeah, that's one of those annoying ones where they just kind of grab your fingers a little bit.
Right.
Most people don't like them, and that's just amazing. That, because you know when you have that bad handshake, it's kind of get the feeling inside you're just like, oh, and that's why it's hard to develop rapport, because they're talking and you're thinking about the sweaty, greasy, too many pumped handshake to where it just kind of repels you. So yeah, it does include that. Now, what I like to do, and it depends on the situation, and I don't think I do this with the president of the bank, but if if the handshake didn't come across very well and you could tell that they kind of missed, because sometimes we miss, I would say, oh, you know, hey, I blew that handshake. Take ownership. Say, you know, I should do, let's do it again. And just kind of redo it. I'd rather do that than have them spend an hour thinking about it. And you're not going to blame them and say, hey, you're all sweaty or you have a bad hand. I wouldn't do that, obviously. But say, oh, let's do it again. Let's get this right. And let's just start off on the right foot. But again, the big complaints are the number of pumps. So if you really want to really master this, squaring up your shoulders with their shoulders, two or three pumps at the most. Another tip here that will be important for everyone to understand, when you, there are people who will not shake hands. And so if you go to someone that has more authority, that's a president than you, and they don't, I would wait for them to extend their hand before you do. Sometimes people don't want to shake hands, or they want to hug, and you can kind of sense that with people. But wait till for them to extend their hand, especially if they're in the power position. And you can practice with people. I mean, there's always solutions. As far as if you're sweaty, you can wipe it off. You can, sometimes if your hand's too cold, you can warm it up. But just be aware of it. I think the biggest mistake here is that, especially with men, they all have the same handshake. And the biggest complaint women have against men is what?
It's too strong.
Too strong. You know, when you hear their knuckles crack, that's not very persuasive. Okay.
So
that's what, especially men shaking women's hands, you need a mirror. And then women, same thing. You need to be a little firmer with men. I mean, that's what they're used to. That's what they do. So you probably need to be a little stronger when you're shaking hands with a man than you would with a woman. And that's why I'm saying it's different. It's not always the same. You kind of customize, and you have a split second there to kind of mirror their handshake. But that goes back to touch. Every aspect of touch connects you with people. All the studies show that a good touch on the shoulder and the arms, and maybe a two-handed handshake, hand on the forearm, goes a long way. Again, there's rules, and it depends on the relationship, what sex they are, all that comes into play. But it's something you need to be aware of, especially that initial meeting, one-on-one, face-to-face influence. Be aware of that. Good question. Next question about what we talked about today or anything that you're running into, we'd be more than happy to help out. Well, let me add one more thing while you're thinking about it that we can mention here with connectivity and connecting with people is the ability to smile. Now, somebody tell me, I don't know if you have a calculator or not, how much does it cost to smile?
Zero.
What does that cost?
Zero.
And this is what the studies show. In a retail setting, a simple smile, that was the only thing they changed, increased sales by 20%. In telemarketing, when they have a mirror, and this is when you can't even see their face, when people smile in a mirror when they're talking to people, it increases their sale. It's very disarming, it's very contagious, it's free. Now, you don't want a type of smile where people think you're a pervert or anything like that, but a simple smile, showing a little teeth, again, very disarming, connects you with people. Now, that can vary culture to culture on what you do, mirroring their smile, but that's another thing that's easy to implement when you talk about people skills, using a smile, using their name. The latest studies on when they do MRIs, when you say someone's name, a pleasure center in their brain lights up. It's actually... there's something about that just when you just say, hey, you know Phil, or you know Frank, or you know Sarah, you know, just by saying that is an amazing connection. They're not even sensing it. It's on a subconscious level. Now, you don't want to be like the telemarketers who go like, well, Frank, let me tell you, Frank. Now, Frank, let me, you know, when they say it 27 times, it has the opposite effect because it gets on their radar screen. Most of this is done on the subconscious level. You do want to say it a few times, but don't overdo it. And that's true with anything. But to back up with all this is when you can be sincere and genuine and truly care about people, then there's that connection. Because when they like you, they want to do business with you. See, when they don't like you and you don't know the answer to the question, it upsets them. When they do like you and you don't know the answer to the question, you say, that's a great question, let me get with my staff and I'll call you tomorrow, they're okay with it. Because who makes 10 times more money? The person who knows everything there is to know about, let's say, real estate, but has poor persuasion of people skills, or the person knows very little about real estate, but has incredible persuasion of people skills. Who makes 10 times, 100 times more money?
The one that knows little.
Yeah. The knowledge isn't that important. They have the people skills. That's why I'm saying that's important. You know, you have to have your core competence. It's important in it. But the reality is you'll never know all the questions. Too many people sit on the fence, wait until they know everything. And the bottom line is you'll never know everything. That's why you get out there and do it. You make it happen. Learn to connect. Learn to influence. And it goes a long way to your success. Any other questions?
That was real good, Kurt. Appreciate it.
You bet. You bet. That's what we're here for. We'll be here. Everyone have a great week this week. Remember, the homework, connect with everyone. Doesn't matter if you need something from them or not, at a store, at a baseball game, wherever it is at, connect with them. Go to a family gathering.
Twitter by the sign.
Yeah, exactly. So wherever it is, connect with people and then treat everyone like gold, and you'll see a big difference in people who want to help you out and help you become successful. Everyone have a great week. Massive success.
You too.
Master these skills. You bet. Thank you. And we'll see you next week at the same time.
All right, Kurt.
Thank you.
You bet. Good night, everyone.
Good night.